Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Second down, and they will send Ruggs all alone off to the right. He's one-on-one with Darius Slay. Slay gives him a little bit of a cushion. Now he backs off. Carr looks to the middle, fires, grabbed in the end zone by Foster Moreau. Jackpot, baby! Vegas touchdown! Victory formation for Derek Carr, best who has played so well. And Lincoln, it's time now for the Coca-Cola Player of the Game. Coca-Cola, the official soft drink of the Las Vegas Raiders. Go for it.
I've been thinking about this long and hard, and you know, I've been critical of Derek's decision-making at times, but today his accuracy made a difference. I'm going to give it to Derek Carr, who had a wonderful day and really led this team, made some critical throws when he had to, threw guys open, used that accuracy to a tee, and really made an impact on today's game. So Derek Carr is my player of the game.
Lincoln, you're spot on. 31 of 34. 323 yards and two touchdowns, and he made the right decisions as your Las Vegas Raiders have barged into first place, headed for the bye, and now they have got 2 weeks to get ready for the New York Giants.
Mark it down. Lincoln Kennedy giving Derek Carr the game ball. You know I'm going to have to talk to him about that tomorrow when Lincoln Kennedy joins us here in the Huddle. But that's for tomorrow. The Raiders are 5-2, ladies and gentlemen, after one of the most controversial weeks in their franchise's history. Coming off a two-game losing streak, losing their head coach, John Gruden, everybody was predicting the Raiders, oh, this is it. There goes their season. They're not going to be able to handle this. It's done. It's over. Typical Raiders. They're going to do a Raider-like thing, and that's it. Hold on. That didn't happen. Anything but so far. The Raiders did a very un-Raiders-like thing, in, at least in recent Raiders history. In fact, what they're doing is they are hearkening back to their Raiders past. Tough, professional, not going to cower in the face of controversy, making their own breaks, imposing their will on opponents on both sides of the ball, imposing their will on both lines of scrimmage, both sides of the line of scrimmage. A complete performance by the Raiders yesterday, following a complete performance by the Raiders a week ago against the Denver Broncos. They are 2-0. In the aftermath of the John Gruden resignation, looking like one of the best teams in the AFC. In fact, their record puts them atop the AFC standings. You can do all the mix matching you want with those 5-2 teams, but the Raiders are among them. And as far as I can tell, these last couple of weeks, they're every bit as good as all the other good teams in the AFC. It's a different Raiders team. We've been talking about it since OTAs, and they've proven it over the last 2 weeks. The key now is returning from the bye, ready to handle their business against the New York Giants in 2 weeks, and to continue on this path that they've created for themselves. Welcome aboard, Raider Nation. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. It is a Monday, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m., how are you feeling right about now? Listen, we talked about this. I'm not sitting here patting ourselves on the back or anything like that. All I can do, I cover the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I host this radio show 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. I'm at practices. Q was there with me, our good friend Q Myers. And I can't remember how many times he and I would talk at practice during training camp when he showed up, and previous to that, when he would come on the radio show, and then obviously hosting his own show during OTAs and whatnot, just going, gosh darn, man, this something looks different about this team. Something feels different about this team. Something sounds different about this team. You watch the way they work. You watch the way they carry themselves. You watch the way they communicated. You drive past the facility at all hours during the offseason, even when they weren't obligated to be there. And cars always in the parking lot, guys getting after work. After it, you just, we've seen a lot of bad Raider teams. I've been covering the Raiders for a couple of years, going back to the tail end of the 2019 season. And it was bad in a lot of respects in 2019, especially defensively. It got a little bit better last year in some ways. They improved by a game, but that defense, just wasn't ready. It wasn't the pieces weren't in place. The right coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball wasn't in place. So they made changes. They brought in Yannick Ngakoue. Max Crosby did his thing in the offseason. Gus Bradley gets hired as a defensive coordinator. Guys like Denzel Perryman, Casey Hayward show up. Draft picks of Trayvon Morgan and Nate Hobbs. Can't talk enough about Nate Hobbs, by the way, or Trevon now, the way he's playing. And, you know, all these guys show up in training camp, and in Denzel's case, a little bit into training camp, like the last week of training camp. And you're just like, you know, there's something different about this team. I've been around football long enough to see it. And it's not just talent, all that, although that part of it was more than prevalent, especially when Yannick Ngakoue showed up and you just watched him in individual drills. And how he exploded off the ball, whatever he was doing, whether he was hitting the sleds, whether he was working in 7-on-7, 11-on-11, whatever the case might be, you just felt, wow, and saw, holy cow, this dude's different. Derek Carr talked about that. He's different. You can feel a guy like that on the football field. And how that sort of helped a guy like Max Crosby, pushing Max Crosby. Max Crosby always had the talent. Obviously a young player still putting it together, so you didn't expect him to be an all-pro player in year two or year one, but the necessary attributes were there. And here comes Yannick Ngakoue to kind of expedite that process by showing Max, this is what it looks like. This is what it's supposed to be like. This is how you're supposed to work. And not that Max Crosby necessarily needed a kick in the butt at all. He works as hard as anybody. But then when you have somebody that's working equally as hard as you, it's going to push you to work even harder. So then it becomes a one-upsmanship. I'm going to work harder than you today. I'm going to do this first. I'm going to be better at this than you today, and vice versa, and back and forth. And what does that end up doing? And it was a healthy type of a situation. It's a friendly type of a situation to push and push and push and push and push each other to be the best versions of themselves, and then collectively give the Raiders two of the best defensive ends in the NFL, along with everything that was going on the interior, which also looked different with guys like Quentin Jefferson and Solomon Thomas and Darius Filon and Jonathan Hankins coming back and being who he is. It just, everything looked different. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing, especially in the darkest time, and there was no doubt a couple of weeks ago today, literally today, 2 weeks ago today was when John Gruden resigned. 48 hours or so prior to that was when the first email bombshell hit. Kind of staggered the Raiders. I felt like they went into that Chicago Bears game 2 days later after taking a punch from, a big boxing punch from Canelo or somebody like that. Staggering a little bit, kind of like, what? What just happened? What the heck, where and where is this all headed? And so, you know, you kind of chalk that one up, the loss to the Chicago Bears, just a team that had just literally gotten punched in the face a couple of times. And then 2 weeks ago today, John Gruden resigns. Everybody's predicting that. Here we go again with the Raiders. This will be their call to fall. But something interesting happened in between that Monday when John Gruden resigned and by the time they hit the football field again against the Denver Broncos 6 days later. A lot happened in between then. A lot of good happened. A lot of what we felt we were seeing all the way back to OTAs and all the way during training camp, what we thought we were seeing emerged without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, in the days immediately following John Gruden's resignation and how they carried themselves. I'm talking about the players, how they worked, how they challenged each other, how they mandated to each other, as Derek Carr talked about yesterday, we got to get to 5-2 by the bye week. The Raiders were 3-2 at that point. We're sitting at the bye week today. Got to get to 5-2. Then let's get healthy and let's get prepared and rest up for a big push in the second half. Well, where are the Raiders right now? 5-2 as they hit the break, get a week off before hitting the field again next week to prepare for the New York Giants. They're exactly where they mandated themselves to be. That doesn't just happen. It takes leadership. It takes not peer pressure, because I don't feel like peer pressure is needed. I think there's a lot of alike thinking men in that Raiders locker room. But certain guys have sort of risen to the top, starting with Derek Carr, obviously. I talked to Alec Ingold earlier today, and he's like, man, Vinny, this is his moment. He's been preparing for this moment, and he's ready for this moment to lead. Make no mistake, when John Gruden resigned, Mike Mayock told us a day or two later, look, there's no power void here. There's no leadership void in place. It was kind of easy at that moment to sort of say, yes, there is. John Gruden, who had a hand in everything that was going on with this team, everything, hand-picked roster, basically, play calling, messaging, everything ran through John Gruden or was started by John Gruden, controlled by John Gruden. That voice, that presence was no longer there. So it was easy to kind of look at Mike and say, really, Mike? I mean, they don't get presence. There's not a bigger presence than a guy like John Gruden. He just commands it, a room. And he's no longer here. There has to be a void. But Mike Mayock had and I wrote about this in the Las Vegas Review-Journal, two aces up his sleeve. He had Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coach, assistant head coach, who Mark Davis and Mike chose to be the head coach and to replace the interim coach, replacing John Gruden. And Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coach, was aware and shrewd enough to understand this was going to be a shared responsibility, and egos had to be put aside. His own, because it's very easy sometimes when you get the keys to the car to just start driving the car the way you want to drive that car. Understandable at times too, but it's not always the right thing. It rarely is, especially in a situation like this where the Raiders are a good team. They weren't a bad team that just needed a whole new voice, a whole new vision, a whole new leadership. No, they needed somebody to just kind of settle things down and let a good team continue to be a good team. And that's where Rich Bisaccia was so shrewd to say, okay, let's just keep things status quo. Let's set the egos aside. Gus, you got the defense. We'll confer, obviously. Let me know what's going on, what the vision is, what the game plan is. We'll talk about it, et cetera, et cetera. Greg Olsen, you got the defense or the offense. We'll talk about it, obviously. That's going to happen. We're going to have conversations. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk it out. We're going to get on the same page, but you run the offense. I'll continue to run the special teams and as well, obviously, make the big decisions when they come on a day-to-day basis or game-to-game basis, depending on what the situation is. That was one ace that Mike Mayock had up his sleeve. The other was Derek Carr, who has been built for this moment. The longest-tenured Raider, the most respected Raider, arguably the best Raider when you start looking at what this guy's been doing and has been doing in spite of some bad teams around him. Got overlooked a lot. But the talent was always there. The respect has been always prevalent. And the admiration that his teammates have for him, that was always there too. Mike Mayock knew, and so did Rich Bisaccia. Got Derek Carr here to be that voice that's needed in the locker room. There's other players, Unique Ngakoue, Josh Jacobs, Max Crosby, Alec Ingold. But Derek Carr, this was his moment to say, you know what, we're a good team. And I'm not going to let this be the reason why, this being John Gruden's resignation and all the controversy that came with it. It's not going to happen. This is not going to be our downfall. We'll deal with it, the better for it. Win these next two games, get to the bye week, collect our thoughts, kind of process everything that's just happened, but be in a position to be able to do some special things on the back half of this season. I think the Raiders are perfectly situated to do just that. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Matt is in Hoboken. How you doing, Matt?
What's up, Vinny? And I kind of want to piggyback on some of the things you said and take it a little bit further. I think, you know, these last two wins that we've had, these resounding wins, I think it shows how much this team really loved their former coach, because I feel like they're playing, not so much playing for him, but I feel like he prepared them in such a way that they're capable of playing this way without him. I think he set such a foundation here, such a strong foundation for toughness, mental toughness, preparation, all that stuff, that they're playing as well as they are because of what John Gruden did here before, you know, all that stuff happened. And, you know, his prints are all over this team. Whatever this team does this year, you know, you could give Rich Versace a lot of credit and Derek Carr, obviously, but I think it has to be acknowledged. It has to be acknowledged that this is John Gruden's football team, whether he's here or not. This is his team, right? And I think they're playing very hard for their former coach. And you could say it the other way, that they're playing better because he's not here. I think it's the opposite. I think they're playing hard for him and hard the way that he wanted them to play. So I think that has to be said, and I think it has to be acknowledged, you know, that his prints are all over this team, no matter how far they go this year, as one of the people who really influenced where we go. On another note, I want to get your thoughts on Josh Jacobs, and I don't think he's as valuable to this team as a lot of other people do, and I think we really have to look at potentially not bringing him back when his contract is up, especially if he's going to require a really hefty contract. When you think about it, if he weren't to come back, what exactly are we missing? You know, what exactly are we losing if Josh Jacobs doesn't come back? And I don't think it's a good player, but I don't think we're missing enough where it's going to be worth paying him big money. I'm curious to what you think on both of those things that I said, Vinny.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Matt. And for the most part, I agree with you. Number one, this is John Gruden's team. This is why I kind of roll my eyes when I see people talking about how he left a disaster in his wake. There was no disaster. This is a good roster, and he was the guy who put this thing together, along with Mike Mayock, along with the great scouts, the people in that part of the building, along with his assistant coaches, Gus Bradley, guys like that, that all have a voice in this. It's not a one-man show necessarily, but the thought that he left some kind of a disastrous roster in his wake was just laughable, and it was naive, and it was like, what are you looking at to the people who try to express that? This is a good football team. It's a really good football team, and it's a team that makes a lot of sense in a lot of different areas, from the defensive line to the linebacker group to the secondary and you know, on and to the offense. Name me a team with as many offensive weapons as the Raiders do. I mean, they didn't have Josh Jacobs or Darren Waller. They didn't have Darren Waller at all yesterday, and Josh Jacobs for a good chunk of that game. They didn't even miss a beat. Why? Because they've got great depth. They've got great versatility. There's a lot of different arms to the operation, and that's a credit to what John Gruden put together and what Mike Mayock put together over these last 4 years. It took a long time, but they've gotten to a point. They got it to a point. There's a pretty damn good roster, and there's you don't understand football, or you're not willing to give it up to a guy who I know is a target in John Gruden. If you can't acknowledge that, hey, there were some misses, obviously. Every team misses, but for the most part, the team that he left behind is 5-2 because they're that talented. Now, will I say also add to that, you know, maybe there's a little bit less anxiety maybe involved. Maybe there's a little bit less, you know, your players are going to feed off of your energy. And sometimes that was as much of a strength as that was for John Gruden. Sometimes it could be a little bit of a detriment too. And we're not in the ears of his players. We're not there on the sidelines to understand what that impact might have had in their day-to-day play-to-play, game-to-game type of a thing. So I can't really comment on that. All I do know is players have expressed that it's a little bit more calm on the Raiders sideline. Not as jumpy, not as anxiety filled. Just a little, you know, and so if you're going to play the game 1+1=2, well, all right. So you take that element out and replace it with a much calmer type presence. There's no, you can't argue the fact that these last two games have been the Raiders' most efficient, complete, in control performances over the last X amount of years. And so maybe that would have happened with John Gruden still here, but all I do know is it happened immediately after he left. Now, John Gruden deserves a ton of credit for building this roster. He did not leave a disastrous roster in his place. That's ludicrous. He left a damn good roster in his wake. And now, you know, Rich Bisaccia, Derek Carr, Greg Olsen, Gus Bradley, the leaders on this team, need to make sure that they continue to follow through and continue to push forward. They have all the capabilities of doing that. They just have to do it from this point on, DeMond.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, kind of covered it there towards the end. But, yeah, I do think that Bisaccia, they don't win these two games without – if Gruden's still the head coach, I don't think they win it. Josh Dubois.
You don't think they win those games?
No.
Oh, I think they win those. I think they beat the Eagles.
No, because you say that, but here's a tweet from Josh Dubois that I thought was really good. Because I know you can always say, oh, this, that, or the other, but we just got to go off the facts. I know two games is a small sample size. He's won these two games 10 points or more. 10 points or more they've won these games by.
Yeah. And
John Gruden, he only won four of those in his second stint.
Yes.
It was 53 games, and he only won games 10 or more points four times in 53 games.
Was one of them this year?
Was that first win?
No, it might have been the second win? The who they play in game two? The Dolphins or I forget who?
Oh, yes, the Dolphins.
Okay, so in one of the games, I think they won by 9 points or so. So that's two. You're saying 10 or more
ten
points?
Or more.
Okay.
He only had four, besides
right,
he's already
but
got
that
two.
But
I'm saying that you can say.
I'm not going to say they were not going to lose these two games. Like, they're the better team than the Philadelphia Eagles, barring any injuries or calamities.
They're the better team than the Bears.
I know, but John Gruden wasn't there. That was a little bit of a hangover over what had just happened with John Gruden. I think I'm not saying they would have beaten them as decisively, but they would have beaten. They're the better team than the Denver Broncos.
But do agree that this team looks better without him as
yes,
head coach.
Yes, it does. But I also I do, and we're going to see if that was a coincidence or the reality of the situation. And I'm totally open to the fact that this team is playing. Much more. They seem to be a little bit calmer. The operation seems to be a little calmer. And I'll admit that that could be because a certain presence was taken out of the equation. But I can't sit here and say that they were going to lose those two games. I just think that they're a better team than those two teams. And the Raiders have been 6-3 under John Gruden. They have been 6-4 under John Gruden. So it wasn't like he was. They weren't capable of winning games under John Gruden. And the fact of the matter is, this is a better team, too, than any team that he's had before. So this was headed in this direction. But I'm willing to say that, hey, you know, with a different vision and a different persona on the sidelines, that could absolutely help. Because like I said, you feed off the energy of your leaders. And sometimes that energy might have been a detriment rather than a positive on a game day. But more importantly to me is this team right now. Take John Gruden out of there. I give him all the credit for building this team. And I'm maybe one of the few people that can acknowledge it. But this team isn't here. This version of the Raiders isn't here without John Gruden. This is a pretty darn good version of the Raiders. Probably the best version of the Raiders in a decade or longer. I mean, this is a good football team. What I do feel like is happening, though, is it's just interesting to see how this team has matured the way it has. And it's taken a little while. We talked a lot, you know, during the offseason about how that 2019 group was really taking some ownership of this team. The Alec Ingolds, the Max Crosbys, the Jonathan Abrams, the Trayvon Mullins, those players, and we're feeling that effect right now, because I don't think that 2 years ago they would have been capable of dealing with what happened to them over these last 2 weeks. But they are now. They're battle tested. They're grown up. They're year three in their careers. And you're just seeing that. And I think that it goes back to what we were talking about earlier this season, of how different this team looked, sounded, felt, all of that. And now the key is keep building off of that, because it is a good enough team to go do some special things.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Alan in Vegas wants to talk about the Raiders. How you doing, Alan?
What's happening, Vinny? How you doing?
I'm good, brother.
I just read your article. Great article, by the way.
Thank you.
I want to piggyback off of yours and Matt's point. John Gruden did bring in a lot of the ingredients to make a pretty good meal. We do have a good team, a good roster, but it's also fair and okay to say that maybe the plays were not being called at the specific time properly. It's okay to say, hey, you know, we got too much fuel. Let's just bring it back a little bit and let's cook it a different way. And I think that's exactly what Greg Olsen is doing, Gus on defense, and Bisaccia overall. And it's okay. I mean, hey, we're 5-2 going into the bye. We have a good team. I think Denver's done. I think the Chargers, we can keep up with them. And Kansas City, they look pretty shaky. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we definitely have to give all the credit to John.
Yeah, I think for building a very, very talented roster and what has turned out to be a very deep roster. Think about all the injuries that the Raiders have had, and it doesn't matter. You know, guys go down, other guys step up, and it's been a marvel to see, you know, just how deep this team is now at this point, year four of that whole process. I mean, Darren Waller goes out. Oh, you can't replace a Darren Waller, and you can't. But it doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to have a black hole, no pun intended, in his replacement. Foster Moreau could play some football now too, you know, and has proven that and would be a starting tight end on many teams in the NFL. So, you know, being able to have most of the bases covered in a way that allows the Raiders to withstand some injuries, and they've been getting hit left and right with injuries. They have a whole bunch of guys on the injury reserve list, but instead of getting worse, they've actually gotten better. And that's a testament to what, you know, what they put together. Now, having said all that, I agree with you on the play calling. I think it's obvious that Greg Olsen has his own vision, and I think that it's completely in collaboration with Derek Carr. And I give both of those guys a lot of credit for kind of leaning on each other and their relationship, and Greg Olsen's confidence in Derek Carr, somebody he's known since his rookie year with the Raiders back in the day, and basically coming up with a plan that says, look, let's do this together. And Greg Olsen, another, you know, everyone has egos, there's no doubt about it, but also even people with egos, the smart ones understand that it's not just, you know, you can't just, you have to be open to ideas and different ways of doing things. And Derek Carr could, you know what, Derek Carr, I'll put it to you this way. Derek Carr could take off the cleats and the helmet and the shoulder pads, give him a whistle and go give him a coach's hat. And I guarantee you he could coach right now today in the NFL as an offensive coordinator. Bar none, he would be a great coach. And I wouldn't rule out him being a great coach somewhere down the line. I know that he wants to go play golf for the rest of his life, so I'm not trying to peer pressure him into taking another life choice after he's done with his playing days. But mark my word, Derek Carr can coach this offense. He's that good of a communicator. He understands it. He sees it. So why wouldn't you lean into that from your quarterback? Not all quarterbacks are built that way. Not all quarterbacks, you know, have that deep of an understanding on what you're doing. One of the benefits of John Gruden hanging on to Derek Carr the last 4 years, when everybody said John Gruden was going to put him on the first bus out of town. One of the benefits is he built a quarterback that knows this playbook inside and out. And guess who was right there, lockstep, every single step of the way? Greg Olsen, who was the offensive coordinator was hired by John Gruden to be the offensive coordinator. So nobody knows it and sees it, what Derek is capable of doing and understanding, and the power that he brings and the intelligence that he brings in game planning right now, and then also play calling, especially at the line of scrimmage, then Greg Olsen. He sees it. He knows it. And so they've worked in a collaborative effort to put together the game plans these last 2 weeks and execute that game plan from Wednesday right on down to Sunday. And it's been great. And I can sit here and say the game looks different. The offensive play calling looks different with Greg Olsen / Derek Carr in charge of it. And so that's why some head coaches, even with their even strong offensive-minded coaches, eventually say, you know what, I'm going to hand play calling over to somebody else. Because sometimes you can get locked into your own thinking. And I think maybe John Gruden might have been a victim of that a little bit. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Robert is in San Jose. How you doing, Robert?
I'm good, Lee. Thanks for taking my call. I have to echo what you and the last caller had to say, that those were my comments. All due credit to Gruden for putting together the roster, bringing in Mike Mayock, the coaching or the scouting staff. He's the architect, but I think as Jonathan Vilma broadcast it yesterday, it's been streamlined since he's been gone last 2 weeks. It's given Derek Carr and Greg Olsen ownership of this offense, and they're doing things a little different. There's not as much switching of personnel. You see Ruggs a lot more. You see Edwards a lot more. I think you can see a lot more Foster Moreau and Kenyon Drake. And I think it's given, the Tom Cable a little more ownership of this offense, that you don't have that commanding presence there, this sucking all the oxygen. Yeah, not that, again, it was a bad thing, but it's allowed these men to take ownership of this offense, and that's the difference I've seen these last 2 weeks. And I expect it to continue. I think this offensive line is going to get a little better, and, we need to put a couple more draft picks in the offensive line and defensive line, but I'm liking what I've seen, and Sasha seems to understand his role, and the players seem to want to play for him. So I'm very encouraged about what's going on going forward.
Great call, Robert, in San Jose, and I agree with you. I do think that of the bright spots of, what happened, and make no mistake, it was a dark moment in Raider history. But the silver lining of it all is that it's given, like you said, ownership of the play calling and the game planning to Greg Olsen, a bright offensive mind. I was talking to somebody that he had worked with previously in his career, and I couldn't tell you how happy this NFL executive is for Greg and a lot of the coaches. He knows all the coaches on this staff and how they've responded and how they've led and the success that they're now having. Greg Olsen in particular, because he's been around a long time and he's served a whole bunch of different roles. He was, the quarterback coach when Sean McVay took over the Rams. That was one of the first hires that Sean McVay made. Makes you wonder, makes you think if Sean McVay understands how good Greg Olsen is, he's probably pretty darn good. And I think the play calling that he's put together and the game plans that he's put together and, opening it up with more screen passes, passes on third downs and shorts rather than just being bullheaded about it and running into the line of scrimmage. It's kind of a breath of fresh air. And the Raiders are just hitting on all cylinders offensively. And I still believe they can get better, especially when Darren Waller comes back. And who knows if Richie Incognito can return and add some, something else to that offensive line, which, by the way, is growing up before our very eyes. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Madro is on the line. How you doing, Madro?
Doing for me.
Awesome, man.
I've actually, it's kind of funny. I'm just going to say, I know everybody's talking about the changes and all, but it is good to know that when I used to talk to you during mini camp and camp and everything else, I think I was one of the few, along with you, by the way, that saw this team as being potentially really not just a good team, a great team. Mm-hmm. We spoke about the depth, all the different people they're bringing in, and now we're seeing it happen. Now, as you probably also know, you know, I was involved, let's say, with a couple championship teams in Oakland and in Los Angeles. And so I'm going to, even though I also have a sizable bet on the over 6.5, so I do think they're going to win at least two more games in the next 10.
Oh, yeah. What was that? It was 6.5, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was me. Remember, I said, put the mortgage on the damn thing.
Right.
I didn't quite put the mortgage.
I remember those days. Yep.
But I made a pretty good bet.
Good for you.
Anyway, the other part is I'm going to go way out on a ledge here, but only based on this happens in sports. And sometimes it's a karmatic kind of thing. And you've seen it not just in football, but in a lot of sports. But in 1980, the Raiders were not that great. They started off 2-3, you know, and then a major thing happened. Dan Pastorini broke his leg. In comes Plunkett. Didn't even start off so good, but by a couple more games, they went on that magic run, became the first wild card team to win all four on the road and win the Super Bowl. So one instance, like unfortunately our coach having to leave, can spark a team. The other thing is, and here's where my magical thinking or delusion comes in, I would just love, like I saw in 1983 when the lawsuits were going back and forth and the Los Angeles Raiders played every single game on the road because they still practiced in Oakland, they still lived in Oakland, and they traveled to L.A. to do their games, and they won the Super Bowl. There was nothing quite as good as seeing Pete Rozelle having to hand that trophy to Al Davis on national TV, and I am going to have the same feeling when Goodell, our favorite commissioner ever, after doing what he did to this team, which is a continuing thing from the NFL office, has to hand that trophy to Mark Davis on national TV in February.
Oh, projecting forward. I like that, Madro. And sometimes a change can be also a catalyst. And I go back to 1982. The Lakers had a coach by the name of Paul Westhead, and he was kind of holding them back a little bit. I mean, they had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Jamal. Well, we could go on and on who they had that year. And Paul Westhead was determined to run a half-court offense, dump it into Kareem, run the offense through him. The players pretty much revolted, Magic Johnson included. And Dr. Buss heard it loud and clear, clears out Paul Westhead, brings a guy by the name of or promotes a guy by the name of Pat Riley to head coach, and the rest is history. That team ended up winning the NBA championship that year, beating the Philadelphia 76ers. So, you know, sometimes just a different – it was the same exact team. It was just a different voice a different person mind calling the shots from Pat Riley from Paul Westhead to Pat Riley. And so, again, you know, I give John Gruden all the credit in the world for building what is a dynamic, deep, talented roster on both sides of the ball. But maybe, whether it was just the motivation of what happened or the defiance by the Raiders to let that be the defining moment of their season and the moment that was going to crush them, and just saying, no, we're not going to let that happen. Whether it was that or whether it was just the fact that, hey, you know what, maybe removing a certain voice from the equation might actually lead to better things with different visions, different voices, different people now running that offense. Whatever it is, it seems to be working, and it seems to be headed in the right direction for the Raiders. And again, I keep reiterating, now you got to just continue to move forward. That is the key. The Raiders have had moments, even in the last 2 years, where they look like, okay, they're in position to make a playoff run, and it all fell apart. So I got a text yesterday from somebody pretty close to the Raiders. Got to see them handle success. That's the one thing they haven't done these last two, that have been able to do these last couple of years. Can they do it this year? I think they're way better positioned with a good defense, a very good defense, to be able to do just that. But got to see it on the grass, as we always say. Back out to the Oyo. where our guy Q Myers is holding it down, watching some football or getting ready to watch some football. Q, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Everything gets kicked off in about 16 minutes and 20 seconds. Saints and the Seahawks. It looks like it's going to be a wet day in Seattle, but it's not. It is not wet here.
That's right.
I mean, there is water going on here. There is water going on here. There's a lot of water passing through the building, but it's fantastic water that you should come by.
And it ain't the drinking kind.
Take a part of. Exactly right. So come on by and hang out with us, man. We got some great food. I just got some wings delivered to the table. Got some fries. Danny thought they were going to be his fries, but I think I just took them over. So you can go get some free
power move.
There you go. Power moves. You can get some food as well. We got all kind of hookup for you. We got some T-shirts. We got some calendars. We got all kind of good Raiders Modelo hookup, Raider Nation Radio hookup. Everything you need, we got for you. And we're here at the Underground Lounge. We're going to be here watching Monday Night Football action, Saints and Seahawks. This is the place to do it. Every single Monday night is how we get down with Raider Nation Radio 920.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Hurts is back into the gun. Takes a step, bobbles it. It's on the ground. The Raiders jump on it. Jalen Hurts has turned it over.
Well, to be fair, Jalen Hurts has taken some shots all
day. Corey Littleton came up with the recovery. Jalen Hurts, for the second time today, bobbles the snap, and the Raiders say thank you very much.
Yeah, you know, it's simple. It starts in practice with Coach Marinelli, the way he pushes us as a D-line, and also Coach Gus, you know, as a whole unit. He demands greatness, and that's what we try to push for each and every day. And when you got guys like Max Crosby, Solomon Thomas, Quentin Jefferson, the list goes on and on, you know, things like that can happen.
Enik Ngakoue breaking it down. Boy, what an addition he's been, Enik Ngakoue. Just it's really been interesting watching this team grow, especially that defense, because second game in a row where the defense gave up a first quarter, first possession touchdown drive to the opponent, and then that was it until the third quarter, right? Yesterday, by the time Philadelphia scored again, Raiders already led 30-7 in the third quarter. That game was over. And then go back a week before that, I think the Raiders are up 24-7 in the third quarter before the Broncos were able to score again between that first and second and third quarter. So just being able to hold down the fort and get Derek Carr and that prolific offense the ball back over and over and over again in order to build a big lead. That's the one ingredient that the Raiders have been lacking, especially last year, with as prolific an offense as they had last year. The inability for their defense to just allow the offense to create space by making consistent stops over and over and over again for long stretches of time was a critical component that the Raiders were missing. They've got it now, at least over these last few games. And I don't see any reason why that's going to subside. This is a good Raiders defense. By the way, check out my friends over at the Barcode tonight, the home of some of the best craft burgers in Las Vegas. And tonight, Monday Night Football, they're also featuring Demon Rum, and the Demon Rum girls are out there as well. So go check out the Barcode tonight for the game. Eat some great, great, great burgers, and I can't stress enough how good those burgers are over at the Barcode. And drink some Demon Rum and meet some of the people out there as well. It's a good night. We're gonna go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Manny is on the line. How you doing, Manny?
Hey, good. How are you doing, Vinny?
Really good, thank you.
So, two questions. What part smart for on good?
Manny, are you there?
No. Yeah, still here.
Okay. Yeah, ask the question real quick.
Hello, Vinny?
Yeah, I'm here. If you could ask the question real quick. I lost you there for one second.
Yeah, what part of Gruden do you think he was too good for his own, too smart for his own good? And second question, what would it take for Bisaccia to keep his job?
All right, appreciate the call, Manny. I don't think he was too good for his own good or anything like that. I think it was he had his way of doing things. You know, I think to be honest, I think John Gruden's a hell of a football coach. I mean, and he knows football, and he built a very good roster in spite of people that are writing nonsense saying that this roster was a disaster. A disaster. It's the best. It's this team is atop the AFC standings, and they didn't do it with smoke and mirrors. They did it with good, sound, solid football and good football players that were put in this room, in that locker room, and on that field by a guy by the name of John Gruden. But, you know, there's also, I think, one of his great strengths can also be, again, a bit of a detriment sometimes. And somebody, you know, I think the freedom that Derek Carr now has, you know, if John Gruden could just see this right now, and I'm sure he's watching it, and maybe something will click in his head. I don't think he's ever going to be a head coach again in the NFL. That's probably pretty obvious at this point. But if he could have seen this somehow, some other way, to realize that maybe the best thing would have been to give play calling duties off to somebody else. That many a coach has done that. Many a good football coach has done that before. I'm sure Sean McVay at some point will hand it over to somebody else, because you just get so wired into what you're doing. And sometimes the delivery in how you're expressing yourself and the manner that you're communicating through, you know, to your quarterback as at the line of scrimmage, that can create, you know, I'm not going to say chaos, but it could put a lot of pressure on somebody. It could cloud things a little bit. It just really feels like there's a more streamlined process going on between Greg Olsen and Derek Carr, and then giving Derek Carr, it sounds like, the freedom of having more time at the line of scrimmage to then take it over from there. The play call is coming in a little bit earlier. Derek Carr is able to get to the line of scrimmage and dissect it a little bit quicker, and I think you're seeing that. And so sometimes as a coach, you just kind of get – we all are guilty of this to some extent. We think we do it better than everybody else, that us doing it is the best way to do it. And sometimes that's not always the case. And being able to relinquish a little bit of control is sometimes the best possible thing. You know who did that? The Notre Dame football coach, Brian Kelly. And, you know, say what you want, they're not going to beat Alabama because they're just not built that way. But they've had a lot of success over the years, and a lot of it is because he took a little bit of a step back, especially in play calling, to allow others to do what they do really well, and the offense got better of it. It's still his offense. This still, make no mistake, this is John Gruden's playbook that they're playing out of. It's just that they eliminated that one voice or muted that one voice and allowed others to be able to have the microphone and do their thing. Devon, did you want to say something?
Nope, just to get to Eddie in L.A.
Oh, I thought you were perched there to make a profound statement, Damon. You had that
I do
look.
Think you're giving Gruden a little too much credit. It was just like, let's back off all the Gruden hype. You know, he's gone for a
reason. Who built the team?
McMahon got a hand in it as well.
Okay, I have acknowledged that. Everyone else, you don't want to give him any credit at all is your problem.
No, I'll give him some credit.
You don't want to give John Gruden any credit.
It's just
you were
here things.
Yesterday saying this is a disastrous roster. You are agreeing with Bill Barnwell. I was right here when you said that.
Yeah, some of the points that was, here's the thing, though, Vinny. Behind the court, you didn't read the article.
I know,
read it,
but
so it's one of those.
What was the first thing he said? It was
you were the victim of a juicy headline.
No, what was the first sentence that he wrote? It was a what failure? I forget. Go look it up. He literally wrote it. Forget the headline.
I still think you were the victim of like a.
I
editor,
wasn't the victim of anything.
Of an
when he
saying,
wrote,
yeah.
he wrote that it was an unqualified failure.
It was pretty balanced.
It was, that sentence alone negates everything else. It
oh
wasn't.
Man, that one line in that movie was off. So the whole movie's bad.
If you're building your argument from that's your statement, and then you're making an argument to prove that statement. That's what you do as a writer.
Yes, but the meat of the article. Let's say when you're making that burger, like they used to teach us in school. You know,
it wasn't an unqualified failure,
but it was still balanced enough. You might
okay,
not like
that,
a few
he
things,
may
but
he may have
balanced.
Backed up. He may have started strong and then just started backing up and backing up.
It
and
wasn't
backing,
backing
up.
He gave some valid points. He's like, this was a
did
good.
It, what did it conclude with? That it was an unqualified failure? Or,
yes,
or
that's
not?
That's not my point. My point is,
what's the point of this story?
I didn't have a story. I wanted to get to LA.
What was the point of his
story? The point of all I'm saying is, I think you're giving Gruden a little too much credit
for building the team.
Mike Mayock also had a team.
I understand that, and I've said that.
If you don't get Gus Bradley, you can say, oh, he hired Gus Bradley. But
yes,
Gus Bradley brings in the players that he wants.
I know that's, but that's part of being the head coach is hiring the assistant coaches as well. So that's a good decision, right?
Well, okay, if they win the Super Bowl, like he should get the trophy.
No, he shouldn't get the trophy, but it should be acknowledged that he built that team.
Okay, I feel like you're just trying, like, hey guys, don't forget about Gruden. It's like,
I'm not saying just forget about Gruden. It's been 2 weeks, but we're talking about John Gruden, and we're talking.
It shouldn't be this team, those players.
What are we doing on a sports talk radio show?
Yes, but you're
forget
you're
about John Gruden. Yeah, never talk about him again.
But Derek Carr went out there and had one of the second most accurate games of all time.
It's been 2 weeks.
Yes, he had the second most accurate game of all time, but you're spending your time talking about Gruden. Talk I'm about not these just players.
Everyone's calling about John Gruden.
All right, let's get to Eddie in L.A.
Eddie in L.A., what do you got
to
say?
Yeah, I just want to start out by making sure we give enough credit to John Gruden here.
There you go, Eddie. Thank you.
I think you can't.
The look that DeMond just gave you.
I hear what you're saying, brother, but you cannot discount on his footprints being all over this team, from dumping of Gunther. Also from hiring him from the beginning, dumping of Mac, also of being able to do what he did with the pieces that he did. So you got to take the good with the bad. It's just what it is. He made his bed, now he has to lay in it.
Exactly, and rightfully so, by the way.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, he has to deal with the demons of his past. That could happen to any one of us. But what you've seen from this team, in my opinion, is not only their focus and how together they are, but just their confidence in each other from one aspect to the other, from all three phases of the game. I don't think you've seen this type of play from Derek Carr, because he's never really had a full confidence top to bottom, organization down to from bottom to the top. And he's allowed to go out there and play. And as he was saying, he's having fun. What are you doing when you're having fun, man? You just go out there and sling the ball. Everything's coming to you in slow motion, and you just get it done. And that's what he's doing, because he's allowed to do so, because everybody that's around him, all the players, you got defensive players that are coming out and affecting games, taking over games. I mean, in Dockway, he was just a man on a mission yesterday. What did it allow to do on offense? It made this job a lot more simpler. Just go out there, just take time off the clock, score, put positive drives together, score, and it's not that difficult when you put it in those terms. Derek Carr could not have been at this level, in my opinion, without John Gruden. That's where you have to give him credit, because he built him up in such a manner that he can see those defenses. He was always reading defenses, but not in this way. He wasn't manipulating things. He wasn't picking them apart in the manner he is now. So I think you have to give him credit for that sense, and you have to understand that this team could be completely different without him in it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, because we live in such a polarizing. You have to make a critical or just like a definitive call on everything right now. It was a disaster. John Gruden's time here was a disaster. Well, it's somewhere in the middle. It wasn't a disaster. You look at the team that is on the field. It's a good football team. He had a lot to say about that. So no way is it a disaster. Was it perfect? No. No operation is perfect. But you know where the Raiders are right now? Is in a really good place, and he had a role in that. Now, moving forward, he's not going to have any role in it, and this is where I talk about, to me, where Derek Carr has grown up, and the last 4 years has benefited him greatly in that regard. Greg Olsen, the relationship that he's built. Here, this is another guy, Derek Carr, who's taken a bashing the last 4 years and even longer by Raider fans who were polarized, and either you hate Derek Carr or you love him, and the haters never could quite grasp the fact that he's playing with a bad football team. Look at Patrick Mahomes right now. Look at Mahomes right now, how much he's struggling, and that team is struggling, because now all of a sudden his offensive line isn't as good. The weapons around him haven't been as good. The running game isn't as good, for sure. The defense is terrible, and all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes is catching the brunt, because he's turning the ball over, trying to play hero ball, which sometimes happens when you feel like you got to do everything. But it just shows you, the conversations that we're having right now with Derek Carr and Patrick Mahomes shows you how important complementary football and being sound in all areas is to the quarterback position. I don't care how good a quarterback you are, you can't overcome major deficiencies. Derek Carr couldn't, and I don't think that Patrick Mahomes will either. Now, if the Chiefs are able to improve and get better, he's the best quarterback in the NFL, but even the best quarterback in the NFL is not a Superman that can overcome major deficiencies. And that's what we're starting to see with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Monday.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.